look at friendship with unbelievers. Tonight I'd like to have a look at an example of friendship in the scriptures, an example of friendship which often comes to mind first when someone brings up the subject of friendship in the scriptures, and that's the friendship of David and Jonathan. So if we could please turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 18. So 1 Samuel 18. We'll just read a few verses. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would not let him go no more to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. Later on in the same chapter, in verse 16, we read, But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. Verse 1 of chapter 19. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that will I tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee would very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine, and the Lord brought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and did rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood, to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. Then in chapter 20, And David fled from Naoth in Ramah, and came and said before Jonathan, What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid that thou shalt die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. Later on in the same chapter, chapter 20, in verse 11, And Jonathan said unto David, Come, let us go out into the field. And they went out both of them into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow, any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, then I will send not unto thee, and show it thee. The Lord do so, and much more to Jonathan, but if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee, and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace. And the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one of them, from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as his own soul. So just to give a bit of context, Jonathan had promised David that he would find out whether King Saul, Jonathan's father, intended to do good to David or to do evil to David. And he promised David that he would come back to David with an answer of what Saul was planning. And he asked David to always remember him, because because Jonathan knew that David would one day be king. And then it turns out that it was indeed the case that Saul wanted to kill David, and according to Jonathan's promise, he told David that. And then we go to the end of chapter 20, verse 41. As soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south, and fell on his face to the ground, and bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another, and wept one with another, until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, forasmuch as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever." And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. That's the last time we read of Jonathan and David speaking together. But if we go to 2 Samuel in chapter 1, after the death of Jonathan, after he had been killed on the mountain of Gilboa with his father, David mourns for them. And in chapter 1 of 2 Samuel in verse 17, "And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son." And the words which he says about Jonathan are found in verse 25. "How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished?" And just the last reading from 2 Samuel and chapter 9. 2 Samuel 9. "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." Amen. So, here we have in the scriptures a wonderful example of friendship. And what I'd like to share tonight is just a few things about the friendship of Jonathan and David. What it was based upon, what it was founded upon, and what it was characterized by, and then maybe to learn some lessons from that. From 1 Samuel chapter 13 up until 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have presented to us King Saul in all of his failure. We see the people's choice, King Saul, and how he was characterized by unbelief, by not being able to wait on God, by pride, and by disobedience. And 1 Samuel chapter 13 up until chapter 15, 16 and 17 gives us the failure of Saul before God can bring in the man of his own choice, the man after his own heart, and that is David. And when we come to 1 Samuel chapter 18, we read about Jonathan and his attitude towards David. And it says in 1 Samuel chapter 18 that Jonathan loved David, he loved him as his own soul. And the first point which I'd like to make, just in a general sense, is that the basis of the relationship of David and Jonathan was love. It was affection. Their friendship was based on something which was deep, on something which was not superficial. There was underneath all of the kindness and all of the nice speaking, there was a love between the two that David and Jonathan shared one with another. And when we come to the subject of Christian friendship, there ought to be this underlying love between us as friends. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we read about a distinction of two things. You know that, sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter speaks about things which should characterize the Christian. And he says things like, add to your faith virtue, and add to virtue knowledge, and add to knowledge self-control, etc., etc. And then towards the end of that, he says, and brotherly kindness, and add to brotherly kindness, love. So he makes a distinction there between brotherly kindness and love. And it's as though he's saying, it's one thing to have brotherly kindness, it's one thing to treat one another in a kind way, but that is in itself incomplete without love. Add to brotherly kindness, love. And it's quite possible for us as friends to show one another kindness, to speak nice to each other, to treat each other well, but for there to be no real love behind all of that. Sometimes the way that we deal with each other is very superficial. We say hi to each other, how are you, how was your week? But underneath it all, there's no real love. As soon as we leave the meeting, that brother or that sister never comes to our minds again for the remainder of the week. But the first thing which characterized this friendship between David and Jonathan was love. Probably the greatest example of love in the Old Testament was Jonathan's love towards David. Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Just as what the law said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there probably wasn't anyone in the Old Testament that fulfilled that except for Jonathan. So the first thing is that their relationship was characterized by a real and a deep love. A love which didn't break down at the first appearance of a difficulty. A love which endured, and a love which bore. There were many hindrances. There was much opposition to this friendship of David and Jonathan. But because there was love there, their friendship endured. But the question which we have to ask ourselves is, why is it that Jonathan loved David? Why is it that when Jonathan came to choose a friend, he chose David? We might say to ourselves, well, it seems obvious that Jonathan would love David because really David saved his life. In the chapter before, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we read about the story of David and Goliath. And had Goliath won, had Goliath overcome, who would have been the first people to be killed by the Philistines? Saul and his son Jonathan. So we might be able to say that, well, really, Jonathan loved David because he saved his life. But I don't think that's the full story. Because if that was the case, then Saul should have been the one that loved David more than anything. Saul would have been the first person to be killed. But Saul never loved David. But we read that Jonathan loved him. Why is it that Jonathan loved David? Why is it, to apply it to what we're trying to speak about, that Jonathan chose David as his friend? I think it was because Jonathan saw in David certain moral features that caused him to love him. When Jonathan came to choose who he would love, who his friends were, he didn't choose according to who looks the best, or who's the most popular, or who's the one that's got charisma. But when Jonathan came to choose his friend, he chose David because he saw in David something which he appreciated, certain moral qualities. When we come to choose our friends, what do we look for? Do we look for those who are the most popular? Those who are going to make me look good in front of everyone, those who are going to make me popular with them? Or do we choose those who are very well known, or those who are rich? Or do we look for certain moral things about them? Character. What was it about David which Jonathan saw that he loved? I think he saw a man of faith. faith which really to an unbeliever is not very much appreciated. But Jonathan saw in David a man who walked and lived by faith. He saw him in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He saw him going out against Goliath. And Goliath comes out against David, a man more than 3 meters tall, a man who's a giant, a man who everyone in Israel, including Jonathan, including Saul, were afraid of. And then Jonathan sees David going out against him. And Jonathan sees David saying to him, "You come against me with swords and with staves and spears." So in other words, David, he wasn't, he didn't forget what Jonathan, what Goliath came out against him with. He knew very well that Goliath came out against him with a sword and with a spear. But David said, "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts of Israel, whom you have defied." Jonathan saw in David a lovely faith in God, a simple childlike trust and confidence in God. And Jonathan appreciated that. But more than that, Jonathan saw in David, I think, a lovely humility. He saw in David someone who wasn't there to seek his own glory. Someone who wasn't there to promote himself, but someone who was very, very happy to take the backward place. To take the lowest place. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, David was anointed king. And David knew it. Jesse and Samuel came to Jesse's house, and out of all of Jesse's sons, David was chosen by God to be the king over all of Israel. And then in chapter 17, David wins this great victory, and he slays the Philistine, and he defies him, and he delivers the people of God. And then what does David do at the end of chapter 17? It says David goes right back to being a servant in Saul's house. Right back to the place where he was before. He saw in David a humility. David was a man who was very little appreciated at this time. His own father didn't appreciate him. You remember when Samuel came to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem, and Samuel said to him, "Bring all of your sons, because one of them's going to be the next king." Jesse didn't even think that it was possible that it would be David, and he left David in the field. He brought his other 7 sons, and it was only after the 7 sons were passed over that he said, "Yeah, I've still got one more son in the field." Even his own father didn't appreciate him. His own brothers didn't appreciate him. You remember when David came to the battle, and his older brother Eliab said to him, "I know why you're here. I know the pride and the insolence of your heart." His own brothers didn't appreciate him. King Saul himself didn't appreciate him. When King Saul, when David defeated Goliath, King Saul said, "Who is this guy? Whose son is he?" Even though Saul knew who he was. But even though David wasn't appreciated by his own father, by his own brothers, by the king at the time, David was appreciated by Jonathan. Why was that? Because Jonathan used a different criteria to judge the worth of a man than everyone else. When it comes with us, how is it that we choose our friends? Whose company do you love to be in? Who is it that you wish you could sit and just talk with? It shows what's happening inside of here. Spiritual things are appealing to those who are spiritual. When we come to choose our friends, we ought not to choose those who are the most popular, those who have the best sense of humours, but we ought to look for moral features, features which remind us of Christ. And even though people might not be appreciated generally, the spiritual person will surround himself with those who fear the Lord. David himself said in the Psalms, "I made my companion all those that feared thee." So the first lesson that we can learn about this friendship is that Jonathan appreciated David, and he didn't judge according to outward appearances, but he judged with the same judgment that God judged. You remember when Samuel came and Samuel said about Eliab, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." And then God said, "I have refused him." Because God judges not according to man's judgment. Because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And when Jonathan came to choose his friend, he judged with the very same judgment that God judged. And he chose one who was humble, one who was full of faith. So that's just about Jonathan's choice of a friend. There are only maybe two or three things which I want to mention which characterize this friendship, and which ought to characterize our friendships as well. And the first thing is self-denial. When you read the story of Jonathan and David, you see something very lovely. And you see that Jonathan is always putting David before himself, and David is always putting Jonathan before himself. Jonathan's always careful to protect the interests of David. David's always careful to protect the interests of Jonathan. All of David's thoughts are towards Jonathan. All of Jonathan's thoughts are towards David. It wasn't necessarily what the one person could get out of the other. It was not what I can get from this person, but it's what I can give to this person. Their whole relationship from beginning to end was characterized by selflessness. Take for instance Jonathan. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 18 that all of Israel loved David after his victory. But there's something very unique about Jonathan's love to David. And that is that Jonathan's love to David cost Jonathan a lot. It was different from the rest of Israel. When Jonathan loved David, Jonathan loved David at his own expense. What do I mean? If David wasn't in the picture, who would be the person that would be the next king? It was Jonathan. And when Jonathan loved David, Jonathan loved him and he put him even above his own self. And Jonathan put David's interests and David's welfare even above himself. Not only that, but Jonathan lived in a house which was against David. The head of Jonathan's house, King Saul, hated David and dedicated his whole life to the destruction of David. So for Jonathan to be David's friend, he had to deny himself completely. And the thing that should characterize Christian friendship is self-denial. And I think that that's something which we would all agree that we all need to work on. Oftentimes we can be very selfish in our dealings with one another. And we choose people to be our friends based on what we can get from them, not what we can give to them. And it's a very sad thing. It's a very sad thing when people choose their friends based on what they can serve them by, instead of how they can serve their friends. You see it very often when people choose friends based on, for example, who it is that's going to be the most likely to go out with them when they want to go out. And you don't call your friend at all, at any time, except when you want to go out to the city or whatever. And you see that there's such a selfishness which is characterized by these friendships, because it's all about what I can get from the other person. But in the book of Proverbs, there's a famous proverb about friendship, which says that he who has many friends must himself be friendly. So it's not necessarily about the friends that you have. It's not necessarily about what you can get from your friends. But it's about you yourself being a good friend to others. And generally, those who complain about not having many friends are those who themselves are the least friendly to others. And those who complain about nobody calls me when I don't come to the meeting, they're the person that will never ever call someone when someone's not at the meeting. Friendships, Christian friendship, ought to be characterized by self-denial and selflessness. It's not about me. It's always putting the other person above myself. Just as the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. He says, in lowliness of mind, let each person esteem each other higher than themselves. When it comes to my friend, I always ought to be putting them before myself. So their friendship was characterized by love. Their friendship was characterized by self-denial. The third thing which their friendship was characterized by was a submission to God and the fellowship in the things of God. And what do I mean by that? When Jonathan met David in the field, Jonathan encouraged David by telling David that God surely would fulfill his promise to David, and that God would be with David just as God was with his father Jonathan, and that God would remove all of the enemies of David from off the face of the earth. Jonathan encouraged David in the things of God. When it comes to our friendships, we ought to encourage each other in the things of God. Be constantly reminding each other of the promises of God. Encouraging each other's faith. Building one another up. Sharing with each other things which we've learnt from Scripture. That's a true friend. You know a true friend? A true friend will have your spiritual welfare as a priority. That's friend. Consider all of the people that you think are your friends. You know who your true friends are? The people that place your spiritual well-being as a priority. The people that when you get together with them, they want to share with you something that they've learnt from the Scriptures. They want to ask you how it is that you've been going spiritually. They want to know if there's anything that they can pray for that you need to be prayed for. They want to pray together with you. That's a true friend. I think that I can honestly say that I am greatly indebted to two or three people in my life who encouraged me in the things of God. When I first started university, there was a lot of work that needed to be done. But I spent 4 years, with two brothers in particular. You probably all know who they are, Brother David and Brother Matthew. By the end of those 4 years, just being with them for those 4 years made a great impact and a great difference in my life. Why? Because they encouraged me in the things of God. That's a true friend. I remember, for example, sitting once and I think it was David and we were at, I think it was Matthew. We were at Gloria Jean's and Matthew had about 10 people around him. And he opened the book of Hebrews with them and went through the whole book of Hebrews showing them how the system which they belonged to was wrong. And I was sitting there, I'm thinking, I've never even read the book of Hebrews before. And I was very ashamed and I went home that night and I read the book of Hebrews. And constantly I could go on and on about so many examples, but a true friend, a real friend, is someone that will encourage you in the things of God. Not someone that will take you away. Not someone that will discourage you to come to the meetings. Not someone that will encourage you to go to the movies with them instead of coming to church, or encourage you not to go to camp, or I'm not thinking about anything or anyone in particular when I'm saying this, but a true friend will encourage you in the things of God. And if you want to be a friend to someone else, the best thing that you can do for them is to encourage them in the things of God, just like Jonathan did with David. In the Song of Solomon chapter 1, there's a lovely verse, and it says, the bride says to the beloved, she says, draw me, and we will run with thee. Notice how she says, draw me, and we all will run with thee. In other words, when she followed after the beloved, she didn't follow alone, but she brought other people with her. You ask yourself, when you sit with your friends, Do you come away feeling as though you're nearer to the Lord? It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be having a Bible study whenever you're with your friends. But do you feel as though that when you're with your friends, you're nearer to the Lord? You're closer to Him? Do you feel encouraged spiritually? Do you feel that your appetite, your hunger for the Word of God has grown? Or do you feel that your appetite is not what it used to be? Jonathan and David encouraged each other in the things of God. And the last thing which I'll mention about this friendship, so we've said that it was characterized by love, by self-denial, by fellowship in the things of God. And the last thing that it was characterized by faithfulness and loyalty. It's very hard to find a faithful friend these days. And they're not my words, these are the words of Scripture. In the book of Proverbs we read that every man will declare his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? David and Jonathan were faithful to each other. They were loyal to each other. Jonathan would sit with Saul, with his family, listen to the things that Saul was saying about David, and straight away go and tell David. David could trust Jonathan, even though Jonathan was in a position where he could use what he knew against David to further his own interests, but he didn't. Jonathan was a trustworthy friend. And what about David? Many, many, many years after Jonathan was dead, after David was king, after the Lord had given him rest from all of his enemies, David remembered something. David remembered that many years before, he made a promise to his friend Jonathan. And his promise to Jonathan was that he would always show him kindness while Jonathan lived and while Jonathan's house was still on earth. David remembered his promise. And David was faithful to the word which he said to Jonathan. David didn't say, he could have said a number of things. He could have said, Jonathan's dead. No one's going to know. No one was there when I made the promise to Jonathan that I'd always look after his house. He could have also said, at the end of the day, Jonathan made his choice. And instead of coming with me and being rejected with me, we read that Jonathan went back to the city. Even though Jonathan loved David very much, he didn't love him enough to leave the house of Saul and to join himself with David. And Jonathan preferred the comfort of the palace of Saul rather than being rejected with David. And Jonathan ended up dying with David, but with Saul. But David didn't remember any of these things. David remembered that he made Jonathan a promise. And David called Mephibosheth, who was Jonathan's son, and David showed him the kindness of God for Jonathan's sake. He was loyal. And it's a wonderful thing to have a loyal friend. A friend that you can trust. A friend that you know will always be honest with you and be faithful to the word which they've given you and will always be occupied with your interests rather than themselves. And then it works in both ways. If I have a friend and I'm always occupied with their interests, well, they're always occupied with my interests. And we're always putting each other before ourselves. And we're always encouraging each other in the things of God. And we're always being faithful to each other. That's a lovely picture of Christian friendship. So in David and Jonathan, we see that Jonathan made a wise choice. A wise choice in who it was that was his friend. And that their friendship was characterized by love, by self-denial, by fellowship, and by faithfulness. Maybe we'll just close there and we'll have a word of prayer.